Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, when you use code DNVR at sign up, you can turn a $5 bet on the Stanley Cup Final into $100 in free bets instantly. Win or lose, it doesn't matter. Your $5 bet gets you $100 in free bets when you use code DNVR on DraftKings Sportsbook. I am Patrick Lyons.
And I am Susie Hunter. Patrick, this was such a Coors game, especially considering it was not even Coors Field.
Very true. It was the Coors by the sea, Coors by the bay, if you will, down in Miami. A lot of errors that we'll have to get into. We'll try to have some positivity with our Minor League Monday bit on, well, it's not Monday, but look, that's part of the bit. And Susie, you're going to make us feel a little bit better with some of those rumors and gossip going around Major League Baseball that might make us feel a little bit better. But let's start on a high note. DraftKings Sportsbook, king of the game for Tuesday night's 9-8 loss at the hands of the Miami Marlins was Ryan McMahon, who continued to stay sizzling. He went 3-for-4, double, homer, walk, 3 RBI, no errors in the field, which you can't say about all his teammates. So he did a really nice job on that front and stayed hot after his 3-for-3 day we saw not that long ago. So he's been rolling right now offensively at the plate. So you love to see a guy that really Bud Black and the entire organization has wanted to lean on. They've finally gotten that here out of a 2-3 game stretch from Rymack. It really hopefully is the start of a hot streak in general from him.
Yeah, let's hope so. But that home run was huge. It was just absolutely a game changer for the Rockies early in that game. And, you know, considering he is the guy who only has the most errors among the Rockies, he's got the most errors in all of MLB. You know, it's a kind of a miracle that he was not one of the many errors that we saw tonight. So good for him. A well-deserved king of this game.
Yeah, that should have been an additional stat. Zero errors. Not for him, not a knock on him, but that's just an important piece. It's something that the Rockies have been struggling with all season long, and that's really probably where we should start with that. Our graphic said to err is Rockies, right? To err is human, right? I believe that would have been not Daniel Bard, but a different Bard, William Shakespeare, who said that four errors on the day, on Tuesday, even one mental error. There was a play there. I want to say it was in the eighth. Runner got from second to third, tagged up. Brendan Rodgers just not really aware of what was going on. That could have been a play. And you just can't win a ball game if you're making that many errors, despite the fact that the offense came through and did really well. 13 or so hits, 8 runs. Everyone except Brian Servant got a hit. But the defense has been very disappointing overall.
Yeah, you know, I can hear Bud Black in that post-game press conference saying that when the Rockies play clean baseball, they win games. So it's no surprise because this was not a clean game by any standard. So that was really what killed the Rockies here.
And they had a streak of 3 errorless games. I mean, that was, you know, the recipe. Go back and listen to yesterday's podcast with Drew Goodman, where we kind of discussed like what was the better statistic for the 3-game sweep of the Padres? Was it the fact that they hit 8 home runs? You go, well, yeah, obviously that's fantastic. Or was it the fact that they made no errors? And I think you can make the case it very much was that they had snapped a 13-game streak of having error-filled games at home. It was actually the longest streak in MLB in over 20 years. Oakland had committed errors in 15 straight home games. Again, kind of one of those weird anomalies because if it's at home, that means you're going away on the road for a little bit. So it's not as consecutive as you might think, but it does underline an issue with how poor their defense has been, particularly since May 8th, where we know that was really where the season turned on its head. They were 16-11 going into that day. And since May 8th, the defense has taken a step backwards even more so.
Yeah, that was towards the end of the hot start that we all missed so much.
Yeah, very much so. They, since May 8th, have committed an MLB-leading 40 errors. 58, actually, I think they are at 60 errors so far. No, it is 54. 54 errors so far this season, most in the game. As you mentioned, Susie, McMahon has 11, most in the game. Brendan Rodgers, Jose Iglesias, I believe he made one today, and Elias Diaz, they all have seven, tied for sixth most of just all players. We're not even looking at the position in the National League. And the catchers alone have made 11 errors. We had one of those catcher interferences, which is a type of error because you are not supposed to interfere with the hitter's swing. And so you give him a base, even though he did not earn a hit. So the defense all around has been somewhat questionable. And right now they are actually on a pace to have the third most amount of errors in franchise history. It's on pace for 138. The first and second worst seasons in franchise history were their expansion year, 1993, their inaugural season, and 1996. It's a whole different world than it is now. It's not good. It's not good.
When you say we're on pace for 138 errors, that hurts me, but also does not sound outside of the realm of possibility.
No, right. And the four errors tonight skews it just a little bit.
Yeah,
to just say, well,
yeah. If you maybe I'm being a little negative.
No. I'm doing it too. This idea of like, well, if you go back and look at through 67 games, so before tonight, they have 54 errors. Where does that mark put it? If you just look at their overall fielding percentage too, if you just look at it from that perspective, it was third worst to start the day on Tuesday. And with those four errors, I imagine that might even actually make it their worst, you know, through these first 68 games, where the Rockies are now eight games under 500 at 30-38. And, you know, you had something really positive. I feel like there's been a lot of losses this season where there wasn't really anything positive to talk about. And starting pitching, not so positive. Bullpen, not great, although we can talk about Jake Bird had a really good solid performance. But at least you did have something there in the offense coming through, guys chipping in. As we said, everyone except Brian Servin, as far as the starters go, was able to record a base hit. And so that's been something that they've struggled to do on the road. And historically, they've struggled to do that at sea level in Miami.
Yeah. And also, I mean, when you think about the times they do go to the East Coast, those are long trips. Those games are a lot earlier. So, yeah. I mean, considering. But, you know, of course, yeah, them stringing those hits together, that was huge for the Rockies, for sure. And definitely something we've missed out on, especially on the road.
13 hits, 8 runs, yeah. As we said, lost 9-8. 5 for 17 with runners in scoring position. That's been one of those statistics that all season long, they've kind of struggled to drive in runs with guys on second and third base, and they did a solid job with that. I think overall, you saw 4 doubles, the home run by McMahon. CJ Cron went 3 for 5, so he stayed hot. RBI, double, and 3 runs from him.
Yeah, definitely good to see that from CJ Cron, the original Cron Zone.
The only Cron Zone in our book, right? As far as
the only one in our book. I was a little annoyed today when I was listening to MLB Network Radio and they were talking about Cronenworth doing something and they called it the Cron Zone. And I was, no, please stop. I will contact my lawyers.
Over the weekend, one of the Padres coaches, did have a, you know, MLB Players Association approved Cron Zone shirt. The Padres actually had a couple like bootleg pieces of items that they were wearing. That, I mean, maybe that's it's exclusive to players, but they had these funky, I don't even know, Sienna. Maybe they were Sienna colored type shorts that I didn't see an MLB logo on them. I don't think you can get them in at the Fanatics store. So. And then Mike Clevenger's outfit altogether was just all kinds of crazy with a tie-dye tank top and an oversized pair of boxers from high school or something. That whole team is a little wild. So
They were looking weird. But you know what? We got the best of them, those Padres.
For sure. And Jose Iglesias stayed hot on the road. Yeah. Did go 2 for 4 on Tuesday night. Puts his average over 300 for the season. So he's in the top 10, we know, in batting average in the National League. He has a road batting average close to 400 right now, which is tied for third in the majors. And again, he continues to do it. Go back and check out an article. We haven't really talked about it. I think it is behind the paywall, but, you know, long story short, not to boil my hard work down to just a single quote, you know, he did say, "The road is what I'm used to. I'm used to playing on the road. I'm not used to Coors Field. So we may have to unpack that at some point later. And I think unpack is the right word that we would both want to use for that, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I feel like we definitely need to explore this a little more. But I mean, we also got to acknowledge he's pretty clutch. He's batting 419 with runners in scoring position and the second highest in the National League. So listen, the road is working for him. Boys on base are working for him. All good stuff from our mystery man, Jose Iglesias.
That's such a good point that I think it gets mentioned a little bit here and there on broadcast, but you bring it up there. I think, again, it underlines a little bit about him being a mystery man, because again, in that article over on the DNVR.com, he discusses that, you know, he's a little old school. He doesn't necessarily like being moved around in the lineup that much. So you see what he's doing there and you think, you know, maybe is this guy a better, you know, two hole hitter behind Connor Joe, you know, than a Jonathan Daza. Maybe Daza is a little bit better at driving in runs in the middle of that lineup. You know, why is Iglesias that low down? But you know, you definitely see the power potential for everybody else in the lineup ahead of him because he doesn't quite have that pop. But he has been clutch in that way. And so I think that's a good point to make here at this juncture. And if you're talking about clutch and you're talking about junctures, hey, you got to talk about the DNVR bar on the corner of Colfax and York, which, hey, we are very sorry. If you happen to pop in and you want to watch the Rockies game or something like that, look, unfortunately, we're only going to be open on Stanley Cup final days. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, yes, we're going to be open 3 hours before puck drop. And yes, we may run out of room for you, 30 minutes before puck drop. I'm not sure when we're at capacity, but we're always finding room for folks. So don't be afraid to come on down, check out what the situation looks like. If you're a member, you know you get that member-sized beer still, and that's not going to change regardless of whatever kind of upscale renovations we might be making to the bar down on the corner of Colfax, New York. It's only 50 cents for your first month at thednvr.com. And if you want an annual membership and are ready to go all in, guess what? You get a free shirt from dnvrlocker.com. Can't really be anything better than that. The only thing better I can think of is actually going to one of the games at Ball Arena, but we know Baby Ball, a.k.a. the DNVR bar, is just as lit. But hey, look, prices are very expensive right now for the Stanley Cup Final, and space is at a premium at the DNVR bar. But check this out. You can actually do something nice for somebody else, even if that somebody else isn't chosen as a winner by Breckenridge Brewery, the hometown craft beer of the Colorado Avalanche. Now, they are celebrating this historic season to give back to the community, those who've supported the community stars, right? They're doing it for each and every home game all throughout the Stanley Cup Finals. They've been doing it all throughout the playoffs. And what you can do is go to breckbrew.com to nominate someone who deserves a chance to get two tickets to one of these games. We know Game 5 will be in Denver. That's going down after the Game 3 loss. They're going to hook you up with some gear to match and, of course, the drink of the season, Avalanche Ale, and maybe even better. Funds do get donated to the Community Fund Boulder County to benefit Marshall Fire victims. Visit breckbrew.com to nominate a community star and send them to the Stanley Cup Final. But if you can't get there, that's okay. You can make a couple bucks on it because the chase for the Stanley Cup is here in DraftKings Sportsbook. An official sports betting partner of the Stanley Cup Final has a can't-miss offer for the most exciting series in all of sports. New customers can bet just $5 on either team to win their game and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win, lose, or draw. But there's no draw in the Stanley Cup Final. There needs to be a winner. Regardless, you are that winner. Turn 5 into $100. Also, with your same game parlays, if you have a 3-leg parlay and one of them doesn't pay out, they're still going to hook you up. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR, where new customers can bet $5 on either NHL team to win their game. Get $100 in free bets no matter what the result is. And that's only with code DNVR and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Stanley Cup Final. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Fortunately, Ryan Feltner works his way into the rotation with Austin Gomber going to the bullpen. Did not have his best stuff, unfortunately, on Tuesday night.
No, definitely not. This reminded me a little bit of the Rheinfeltner we saw in Philly, which was not Rheinfeltner's best stuff, but this was this worse. But yeah, 3 2/3 innings pitched, 6 hits, 5 runs, 4 of those were earned, no walks, 2 strikeouts, 2 home runs. So that was all over 72 pitches. So not ideal. Didn't get too much out of him, and a lot of damage was done in that time.
Yeah, didn't get a lot out of him. That sums up, because sometimes in a game like this where you go, it's 9-8, shoot, get some length. We saw Kyle Freeland the other night. He gave up 4 runs, but he went 7 innings. That was huge to give the bullpen even more rest and really just shorten it up to the end of the game to get those final 3 outs. And unfortunately, Feltner wasn't able to do that. You needed an inning and a third out of Jolys Chacín. Gave up 3 runs. Only 1 was earned. He was in there with all the riffraff going on with some of those errors. But Jake Bird could be a thing. Could be
Jake
a thing.
Jake Bird. Coach. We got some good stuff out of the new kid. We got 2 innings pitched, 1 hit, 0 runs, 3 strikeouts. So he retains that 0.00 ERA. So I was excited to see that out of Jake Bird. Very new to the majors. I liked it.
Now, he did it twice against the Padres, if I'm remembering correctly. And now he's done it against the Fish. We tweeted it out on Twitter, at @DNVR_Rockies. A bird getting a fish out of the water. Now, 2 come to mind for me as a bird connoisseur, as a birdman, as a birder. We're birders.
May I guess 1?
Yes, please.
Pelicans do that with their big mouths. They.
That's 1 of the 2. That's yes. 1 of the 2 big ones.
Look and at me.
Did you know we have these in Colorado?
Bird life.
Did you know we have pelicans in Colorado?
You've actually told me this not once, but definitely twice.
Definitely.
Yes. I don't know why this comes up all the time, Patrick.
Well, you wouldn't have guessed a shore bird like that would be in Colorado. But no. We do have the pelican. Another one, badass one. It was actually the mascot of my college, Osprey. Ospreys are great at diving. There's a few that will do that in different fashions, but those are the 2 that come to mind. So we'll have to kick those around to see if he's a pelican kind of guy, which I feel like that's a little bit goofy-ish, right? They're a clunky bird.
Yeah.
They're cute if you're into that, which I actually very much am. Or the osprey, which they're a little bit more badass type of birds.
We'll see. We should ask Jake Bird which of those birds he identifies with more.
I would agree. I would say that Matt Holliday here, Sean, adding a little something to our comment section, because again, we're going live all this week post game in the Marlins series. So whenever that game ends, 15 minutes after that final out, we are going to be live. So join us in the chat on YouTube on the DNVR Sports channel. Sean points out Matt Holliday in the booth with our buddy Drew Goodman and another buddy, Jeff Houston, was there looking gigantic.
He did look gigantic.
And he has a shaved head. So when I say bald eagle, it's not an emphasis on the bald. It's an emphasis just on being like the king of the raptor jungle, if you were. He looked massive. He looked great.
He was a presence, yeah. No, I'm glad they got him in the booth too, especially because we tweeted out a really funny joke about Matt Holliday earlier. So I think we knew.
It's true.
They're we knew.
10, but again, that's why you also got to be over on Twitter to check out all of our fun shenanigans altogether. Yeah. Overall, Alex Colome did give up a run. He had not given up one since May 11th, but does have a homerless streak still going strong. Didn't give up a homer. So that is what it is.
It is what it is. That's really all you can say. But what a nice streak he had going for so long. Wasn't expecting that from Alex Colome, but happy we had it while we did.
Very true. We're going to get to Robert's question here in just a second in the chat. But did you realize that a win tonight would have given the Rockies their longest winning streak of the season? 4 games? It's not a ton.
Oh, that is a stat that bums me out a lot.
A little bit. And it's funny because Atlanta going into that series a couple weeks ago, they hadn't won 3 games in a row. And they won the first 2 games, and that gave them 3. And then they reeled off 14 in a row. I think Cleveland's been doing something similar. So it is one of those things that you need a little bit of that luck to get rolling, to have those winning streaks. So look, Rockies have 90 some games still left to possibly do that, but would have been nice to see them tie a season long streak. And this might be something for another day, but look, I put it in the notes. Susie, do you know where tonight's game was played at?
It was played at Lone Depot Park.
Yes. And do you know how to spell Lone Depot Park?
Is this a trick question? Oh,
I really got you thrown.
Is this Maybe a trick question?
It might be. Just go ahead and start spelling Lone Depot Park.
L-O-A-N.
Okay, and when you say L, what kind of L do you mean?
Oh, it's a lowercase. I know it's a lowercase L.
How weird is that? What the hell is... What is that? What is that?
You know what? I don't think... Lone Depot with the lowercase L, not the best name, but I think Guaranteed Rate, where the White Sox play, is the worst name, but because the logo for Guaranteed Rate is just like a red down arrow, and I'm like, that is just bad vibes. You were just inviting.
But Lone Depot, the lowercase L is the worst lowercase letter ever, because people don't know, is that an I, capital I? Is it Ian Depot Park? I feel like we really need to start calling it Ian Depot Park. And just ignore anyone else that tries to correct us. Are you on board? Is this going to be something we continue to do going forward? Or am I on my own?
I will support you in this endeavor. I support you no matter what, Patrick. You know that.
So behind my back, you will call it Lone Depot. Is that what you're saying?
I think I'm just going to call it the park where the Marlins play. I might call it the Coors of South Florida. Just seeing how this past game went.
We'll take that. I'll take that as
but with
as
a lowercase C.
There you go. I appreciate that. Yeah. Robert asks, when is Bryant coming back? Robert, I feel like this question would have been apt the last month at any point, because I feel like we actually do know. He actually at the time of this recording should have at least had an at bat already by now, was batting second in the lineup in his rehab start with the Albuquerque Isotopes with Ashton Godot on the mound. You also had Sam Hilliard batting behind him, hitting third, Dom Nunez fifth, Alan Trejo sixth. But Chris Bryant is on the comeback trail once and for all. Well, we'll see if he needs another comeback trail after that, but we're going to have to wait and see about that.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm really pulling for Chris Bryant here because I feel like he's been out longer than he's actually played. And I keep forgetting that he's on the Rockies, and that's not a good sign. But... yeah, starting in, he's playing with Albuquerque. He's in his hometown of Vegas. And Buddy did say most recently that they're aiming to have him back for the Minnesota series. So we're going to keep an eye on that. I'm going to try to talk to the Topes after that game, which got started at 8 p.m. Mountain Time, super late.
Yeah, all of these games this week are going to be at that time. Even Sunday. They have a Sunday night game at 8:05. That's just really, really strange. We put a poll out on Twitter at @DNVR_Rockies. How many more wins would the Rockies had if Chris Bryant had not missed 44 games? I think their record actually wasn't even that bad. It was like 19-25, where you go, oh, well, six games under 500 is not great, but it wasn't like the wheels totally fell off in the grand scheme of things when he was gone. About 40% said 2 to 4 more wins, and we even had fantastic gentleman, Steven Crociata, basically crunched the numbers. He looked at WAR and he said, well, if you look at his average and he did this, it's almost as if he made a spreadsheet for it. He said, you know what? Probably two more wins at least. So we'll see if maybe the Rockies can get back on track. So Robert, thank you again for that question in our chat on our YouTube channel, DNVR Sports. Ashton Godot, we'll keep an eye on him. Still, he's on the 40-man roster. Has struggled over his last three starts, 10 innings pitched, 15 earned runs, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks. He's doing this as a starter, so a lot of it is stretching him out. It also is in a very volatile hitters league, the Pacific Coast League. So that's been challenging, to say the least. But you know what? Look, while we're down here, we'll blame Robert for this. We're already here. We're already here. So we might as well embrace the fact that we are – looking at the farm. We're down on the farm.
Look at that. Mr. Seamless Transitions over here. I hope you watch us on YouTube because we have the most delightful graphics. But this one is just for exploring what's going on in the minor leagues.
We need a graphic that has... Can we have a bear farm for the Grizzlies? Are we allowed to have something like that?
I don't know if bear farms exist, but I think we can still request it from our graphics team.
And since it is 2022, look, the reality is there probably would be some kind of nuclear reactor somewhere off in the background of this farm. Because, hey, look, that's sad. But at the same time, we know the reality of things in the current state of the world. So yeah, I'm just trying to tie in all the different things. And maybe we need a fishing pole with catching one of those wonderful fish that they catch down there in Spokane. But let's start with Albuquerque. Elijah Montero did get sent back down to the minor leagues, but he's been hitting really well overall. Has a 12-game hitting streak down there in AAA. I think that's been broken up over his various big league stints. So he's still doing his thing. And Ryan Vallade finally came through with his first home run of 2022, his first since September 16th of last year. That was a span of 237 at-bats. So it was a two-homer game, so you love to see that. Those are the big-name guys that you already know and are counting on maybe getting something on the big league roster. But there are a few other players who've been, you know, hitting the ball and have been playing really well overall that, you know what, late in the season, we'll see what happens at the trade deadline. If maybe the Rockies need more of a veteran presence or some other younger, underappreciated players, similar to a Sean Bouchard, they've got a few of those heating things up right now in the Pacific Coast League as well.
They do for sure. But speaking of one that's not so young, Scott Schebler is leading the PCL with 5 triples. He's 31 years old. So,
he's got some legs. Know,
in terms of me, I'm like, no, he's not old. But like in terms of the rest of these young guys, he's a little up there. But you love to see a 30-something king crushing it.
And what's a little bit crazy is that in the majors, the most he ever had in a season was, or actually not the most he ever had in a season. He's had 4 career triples just in general in the majors in 400 games. And he's got 5 right now.
The hitter-friendly PCL is doing him well right now.
Really is. Brett Boswell was the guy who was actually on the 40-man roster. I believe that was in 2019? No, I think it was in 2020, just before the pandemic. Played fairly well in the Arizona Fall League. Has a lot of pop from second base. They had him going in the outfield. Poor man's Garrett Hampson would not be the correct word. He is a less speedy, much more powerful. He doesn't have sneaky pop. Dude just has crazy pop offensively. He's been really good. He homered in 3 consecutive games, and he's been a guy who he turned a couple heads. He was invited to the big league camp back in March. And so he's one of those players where you might end up seeing him at some point late in the year because, you know, he could be a dude in some capacity.
Yo, we love a dude, but he had the longest active streak in the PCL. He's only 1 shy of Brian Servin. So
not
our
bad.
Friend. Our
not
friend
bad.
Brian
yeah,
Servin.
It's hard to hit 4 home runs or in 4 consecutive days, but Boswell could do that. I mean, he's in line. We'll have to check back on the box score on Tuesday night. Riley Smith, props to him. Guy was brought in on a minor league deal in the rotation. You know, he's been doing his thing. Had a complete game shutout. It was only a 7-inning shutout, but should be noted the first one for the Isotopes since they were a Rockies affiliate, since Eddie Butler. There is a name, a blast from the past, back in 2016. So kudos for him. And that probably wasn't even the weirdest thing that happened on that day. The fact that he threw a 7-inning shutout for the first time in 6 years, that might not have even been the headline.
Yeah, they had some weather issues in Albuquerque. They were playing a doubleheader on Saturday, but they had more weather issues. Game 2 didn't start until 10:20 p.m. They played past midnight. Like, we think we have long days. That is a day.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. And in fact, that's, believe it or not, from what we've heard from a couple sources, one of the reasons why Chris Bryant didn't start his rehab earlier was sent him down to Albuquerque on Friday, and the game's going to be rained out. Well, let's not do that. And very well could be rained out on Saturday, and it nearly was. So, hey, let's just start fresh. And he's there now in Las Vegas, fittingly. So his 2 rehab starts have been 2 of his favorite places, Utah and Las Vegas. Can't make that up.
Something is fishy about this, you know?
Is that a Marlins pun? I can't tell.
You know, it's pun adjacent for sure. But something's fishy that these injuries are just timing themselves out where he has to visit his favorite places.
Also got to give a shout out to Carlos Perez, a guy who's catcher, first base guy, a veteran dude. But you know what? Players like him, believe it or not, look, it happened last year. It really went under the radar. Rockies didn't get much, but they traded Dustin Garneau, I think, to the Tigers because they were really in need of a backup catcher. So they were able to get almost something for nothing because Garneau is just going to be down in Albuquerque. Well, Carlos Perez could be one of those guys. He extended over the weekend, his team leading on base streak to 20 games, maybe even gone up to 29 at that point. So he's been really fantastic going back some ways. And so he's one of those players where if you are a prospect hound and you go and you're looking at numbers, you're saying this guy deserves an opportunity, especially when you say, well, Dom Nunez wasn't getting it done behind the plate. You need a solution. And I think in some ways, Carlos Perez might have had better numbers than Brian Servin offensively. And you say, well, why didn't he get the opportunity and why did Brian Servin? And I think understanding the age of these players and you understand the upside, because Brian Servin has a little bit more upside. They only need the two on the major league roster right now. So you don't need a third catcher. So he's not going to get that opportunity. Also plays a little first base. We know CJ Krohn is there. I think he plays a little outfield. Is that correct?
I think so.
Yeah, and so outfield is a little bit filled up. He's a corner outfielder, of course. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's also a spot that's taken up. So you go, hey, you're doing fantastic, and maybe you deserve a call-up, but we don't have room for you. And veteran players like a Carlos Perez do understand that. They get that from when they sign. So, again, if you're just looking at that those kind of numbers, you might be disappointed to say, hey, wait, why doesn't a guy like that get called up? There's more to it than just the numbers.
Yeah, for sure. He's just too versatile, you know?
Might be.
Too versatile.
Talk about Hartford, your team. They're in New Jersey in Somerset for 6 games. 5:05 Mountain Daylight Time. Sunday's game. Is that a reasonable time?
A normal time for baseball on a Sunday.
Totally, totally. They're in second place right now, behind Somerset with 7 games remaining in the first half. So a big week here by the Goats. Could see them as the first half winners. That would be awesome to see for them.
Yes, and as we know, the first half winners, they split it into two. So if they win the first half, they're making playoffs for the Eastern League. So that would be really exciting. This is one of the best seasons the Yard Goats have had. It might be the best season the Yard Goats have had since their inception in 2016, since that Road Goats team. But they've hit some milestones this year. The Yard Goats are past the 100,000 mark in attendance on May 14th. That's just their 20th home game. It would take the Marlins 50 years to hit that.
They may need to move to Hartford. That's it. It could be the Hartford Marlins. That name might not exactly work out, but I think it would make some sense with the way that Hartford supports their team. Two guys that have been supporting the club on the field that aren't big name prospects: Daniel Montano, who was coming out of the international market last week, 5-for-17 homer, 3 RBI on the last homestand. And Michael Baird, a guy who was repeating double A for the Yard Goats, pitched a little bit for them last year, has been converted back into a starting pitcher, has a 3 ERA and 33 innings pitch, a sub-1 whip. So he's not putting guys on base, 39-7 strikeout to walk ratio. And maybe the best part, he's one of those Colorado guys, went to school at Legend High School in Parker, Colorado.
Yeah, we know that the Rockies love the Colorado guys. They've grown up in our weird air. But, yeah, it's not unusual, too, for, you know, guys to repeat the grade to do double A again, because double A is hard, but Hartford's a really cool place to play.
And, of course, Ezekiel Tovar doing Tovar things. 7-for-20, homer, 4 RBI in the last week. Even had a pinch hit single on Sunday coming off the bench. Has 21 multi-hit games, next most on the team. Shunk and Doyle, which I don't know what that sounds like, but that sounds like a thing. Shunk and Doyle. I don't know if that's a law firm or if they make really crunchy granola organic ice cream, but they have 11 multi-hit games apiece. So Tovar, he's hitting the cover off the ball pretty well.
Tovar is so far above the rest. It's incredible. We can't wait to see him move up, of course. But he has just been, I know that Hartford loves watching him right now. It's just, those numbers are crazy.
Connecticut baseball is looking good right now.
Yeah.
The pizza always looks good, always tastes good. And so that's probably a good time to point out that we've got something similar to that. It's Sexy Pizza. What you might not know is right now through June 12th, pretty much, or actually not through June 12th because this is still going on, they're still giving out 15% from your order when you use code DNVRAVS at any of their five locations. They've got four in Denver. They've been here for 13 years with their made-from-scratch each morning dough. We're talking Park Hill, Old South Pearl, Capitol Hill, Jefferson Park. Use that code. They've got one down in Trinidad, Colorado as well. Check them out, www.sexy.pizza. Go to their about page for their donations link. But look, they want you to have a good time, have a good Stanley Cup final party, or just a hangout, whatever it may be. But when you go there and when you order your pies from Sexy Pizza, yes, pies. Sometimes that's an interchangeable word there on the East Coast. Use code DNVRAVS to save 15% off through the end of the Stanley Cup Finals. Do you say pies a lot or not so much?
I rarely do. Unless I like have already said pizza in the sentence I'm forming and need another word. But other than that,
I am very much like that too, of like not repeating the same word. You want to come up with those synonyms. I definitely say pizza a lot more. But I'll get into a groove where I'm throwing out pies, you know, a bunch. It depends. If I'm hanging out with some Galvones from Jersey, you know what I mean? Forget about it. But you know, you shouldn't forget about Green Mountain Dental Group, because they've been taking amazing care of all of our DNVR members over the years, especially those who've made the permanent switch. And look, they are really enticing you to not just have a clean mouth, but have a pearly white mouth right now. Because when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with them, you're actually going to receive a free Sonicare toothbrush, the same one found in my bathroom for my pearly whites. They're hooking you up at Green Mountain Dental Group, located just 15 minutes from downtown Denver. About maybe 1,300 miles from downtown Denver is Spokane. They're at home against the Everett Aqua Sox, and that's where all of those guys are going. Susie, I mean... What's exciting you most right now down on the farm at Spokane? Is it the offense? Is it the hitters? Or has it been the pitchers right now over the last week or so?
Okay. Don't even know where to start, but I think I will start with the pitching, because they have tossed six no hit, or Tony Losi rather tossed six no hit innings for Spokane. And we love to see that.
Yeah, he was awarded, of course, with the Northwest League Pitcher of the Week Award. Overall, he has the lowest opponent batting average against, lowest ERA, actually third lowest ERA at 2.56. So he was one of those guys that was kind of a throw-in in the Nolan Arenado deal, but could be a depth piece. And he's been absolutely fantastic. So you like seeing that. And another young guy who skipped low A, Fresno, went right up to Spokane. Rockies are challenging him. Joe Rock had a really solid week last week. Seven innings pitch, only gave up one earned run in that start, struck out three, walked one, has a 3.32 ERA. And in the month of June, he's only allowed two runs in 19 innings pitch. That's a sub-1 ERA in the month of June. Weather is starting to settle a little bit up there. It's not as cold and as rainy. It's one of the reasons why the Northwest League in the past was a short season league, because once you can get to middle, late part of June, the weather up there is a lot nicer and conducive to baseball games. You don't have as many cancellations, as it were. Players have to play through that. That's just part of being a minor league ball player. But Joe Rock, he is starting to heat up at the exact right time.
I love that. And of course, on the other side, offensively, let's talk about Zach Veen. Two home runs in the same game and drove in four for a 9-2 win last Tuesday. So that's really promising, especially because Zach Veen is definitely a guy that we talk about a lot. We're eager to see him move on up in the system. But yeah, the Indians are, they're making stuff happen. They're making moves.
Yeah, and his tag team partner, because it seems like everywhere they go, they're kind of in lockstep there. Drew Romo, fifth homer of the year last year, actually was the difference a couple days ago on Sunday in a 3-2 win. He's 20 years old, but he leads the team in batting average, 297. Not bad for a catcher, a guy that when they drafted him, you really thought, well, look, it's going to be a defensive first guy, and maybe could bring the first gold glove behind the plate for the organization. And whatever you get out of him offensively is just icing on the cake. And at this point it's icing, it's fondant, it's you're spraying on some whipped cream, there's a cherry, you're running it underneath a chocolate fountain. Like, this kid is really doing some big things offensively, to use a metaphor that no one else will ever replicate ever again.
Patrick, do you watch a lot of those cake baking shows by any chance? This is a genuine question.
No, during the beginning of the pandemic, my wife and I did watch a lot of Great British Bake Off. So that's just the most wholesome show ever. But fondant, you know, the guy, what's that guy, Buddy? The cake boss guy was a big deal. He's from New Jersey. So I got roped into that a little bit.
Cake Boss was just a phenomenon. I mean, that really, Cake Boss walked, so all the other baking shows could run.
It's true. We do got to give a shout, of course, to the Fresno Grizzlies.
Oh, yes.
Their magic number is 2 to clinch the first half championship. They lost 5 in a row to second place San Jose Giants. So, like, they are so close to the edge. And they got schooled just a little bit. Thursday ends the first half, but they've got 3 games to clinch it. So, magic number is 2. They either got to win 2 or 2 losses by the San Jose Giants. Whatever it is, you want those guys to have the same amount of success as they did back in the Arizona Complex League. So, again, overall, we know Rockies minor league system is getting better. It is on the upswing. Sure, maybe right now it's the 21st best in all of baseball, but keep checking in, because we saw on a couple top 100 lists, Ezekiel Tovar not there at all in the top 100, snuck in on the back end as some guys graduated. And then in Baseball America, they said, forget this sneaky business. We need to move them up to 24, and we need to move them up now. And I think that's going to be the case with a couple of the Rockies prospects overall. So expect midseason rankings. Maybe they shoot up to 18. I know that's not that exciting, but that's a decent jump in a year's time. They have a good draft. We got some draft coverage coming here in the next month. We're excited to bring that to you. Maybe by the beginning of next season, they break the top half. Maybe they are 15th. And now you start to say, I like the future of this organization.
That would be nice. We can dream. But yeah, let's root for Fresno. So close, yet so far.
Yes. Rumor is they are off to a good start. But let's not talk about rumors. When it comes to minor leaguers, let's get to those rumors when it comes to the major leaguers. Unveiling now for the first time on the DNVR Rockies podcast. That's why you got to be watching on YouTube. The gossip and the gossip graphic.
Yes!
Here we go.
It's like we have a talk show. I am in love with this. Shout out to our super producer, Kale, for putting this together today. I am just absolutely in love with it.
It's great. We were critiquing our outfit. We'll critique our outfits another day, because we don't want to spoil it. Again, give everybody a chance to go over and see what it looks like. But yes, you are very much the host. You also have the notes. You've got your notes on me. Mm-hmm. I'm waving. You're presenting me. This is your show. I mean, take over. Let it run. What's the gossip? What's going on in the world of baseball right now?
Oh, I am so excited to tell you. Also, this is very much a motion that I do all the time. So, spot on stuff. Okay, are you ready for the rumor I heard, number one?
Do tell.
Okay. John Gray, our old friend, John Gray, is a huge Smashing Pumpkins fan. Do you think that's true?
It's not that crazy of a conclusion to jump to. So I'm going to say, yeah, I bet you maybe him and Billy Corgan happened to bump into each other somewhere. I'm going to guess there was a photo that came out of him and Billy Corgan. I have no idea, though. Is he a Smashing Pumpkins fan?
This is kind of out there. So not necessarily the band Smashing Pumpkins. So I don't know. I mean, John Gray apparently got into a little trouble with literally Smashing Pumpkins. We heard about this on, there's a show called Play Ball on MLB Network, which is geared towards kids, and they will interview players but ask them questions that relate to life as a kid. They were asking a bunch of major leaguers about stories of them getting grounded, and John Gray was apparently grounded as a kid for driving around Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, all right. Well, that's not so bad, but it's not great. I never did anything like that. I was too much of a goody-goody.
Me too. Well, John Gray wasn't, but it sounded like he learned his lesson. But now, yeah, now we know he's a fan. Just smashing a pumpkin.
There we go. Has nothing to do with the band. Set me up for these rumors. That's why, again, it's like the game Telephone. It gets passed along and you go, it gets bastardized to something else. So that's why you got to be listening to the whole thing. That's why you can't just tune out when you go, got it, John Gray. He's into alternative music from the 90s. Actually, not. All right, what other dirt have you got?
All right. Max Scherzer and his wife rescued 30 dogs from St. Hubert's Animal Welfare Center in New Jersey.
That is literally the press release, I believe. Right?
Do you think it's true that they rescued 30 dogs?
Yeah.
Not quite.
Might have been 38. 28.
Okay, so Max Scherzer and his wife Erica, they are both noted dog lovers and rescue advocates. They were sponsoring adoption fees for all dogs over 30 pounds from the St. Hubert's Animal Welfare Center in New Jersey. So, kind of, but not literally.
Not the 30. I knew the 30 was in there. See, again, these rumors, how do they get spread? You go, no, I know for a fact. I don't know that. That's great that he's giving back and doing that. I want him to now be the face of baseball players doing cool things with dogs. No offense, Tony La Russa. We're ready to move on. We are ready to move on from you.
I am. Well, good for him and his wife for doing some good.
Absolutely.
All right. Here's another. Maybe, I don't know. I can't transition like you transition, Patrick. Okay,
you've got some tea to spill? Spill some tea.
I got some tea I'm going to spill. Fantasy football wins are now an official baseball reference stat.
Oh, okay. That's curious. Yeah, I had not heard that. Please tell me more.
Yeah, so it's kind of true, kind of not. This, of course, all comes back to Tommy Pham, Jock Peterson, and their time in that fantasy football league where Mike Trout was the commissioner. We now know that Alex Bregman won that league and recently added to his baseball reference page under awards was that he won Mike Trout's fantasy football league.
Is that still on his page? I did not see that.
It's on there, yeah.
Oh, my. All right. Well, we need to end the show early because I've got a baseball reference page to check out. That is really cool. I like that. I like that. I think we could probably talk about this, that Garrett Hampson was recently a commissioner of something. And I definitely wanted to ask Bud Black. He talked about it on the record. I want to say, how is Garrett Hampson as a commissioner any better than Mike Trout? And I think he was. So if you're having a conversation and you want to win a drink at a bar, you can say, look, I know a couple Rockies that do a couple things better than Mike Trout. One of them is be a commissioner. And Garrett Hampson, no doubt. There were no issues with his commissioning. Garrett Hampson. Yeah.
Okay. Garrett Hampson, a Libra. He is nothing but fair. So.
That's it. Garrett Hampson is my commissioner. Can we get that shirt going? Where's Eric? Eric, are you listening? Where are you? Can we get this shirt out?
Eric, please be listening. We need this shirt.
Well, the Giants, and hopefully I'm not stealing anything, but to piggyback on that, they did have shirts that came out saying stashing a player on the IR is not against the fantasy football rules, which it isn't.
That was not one of my pieces of gossip, but it is very juicy.
Garrett Hampson is my commissioner. I'm ready. I'm ready for it. And again, if we don't get around to it, go ahead, do it. You know the rules. You're going to float 25% our way. That's it. Go ahead and run with it.
I love it. I love that baseball reference in general does have fun with some of those stats. Paul O'Neill, his outfield kick. That's all right on his baseball reference page.
He did have one. He needs to also.
Kicks left.
Yes, that's true. He also needs his own stat line for demolishing Gatorade containers, because I think he's at about 2 or 3 in his career, so he may lead all of MLB historically speaking. Sure, Babe Ruth did play in an era where there was not Gatorade containers, so I understand that, but still, the fact remains, Paul O'Neill is the GOAT when it comes to that.
Yes. All right, I got one more rumor for you.
Ooh.
Yeah, just one more.
Let it fly.
The Orioles are teaming up with SpaghettiOs. The SpaghettiO company will be taking over the naming rights at Camden Yards.
Okay, so, there might be a legit tie-in on that. It's funny because when you said Camden Yards, I'm thinking Campbell Soups, and I'm like, oh, does Campbell Soup own SpaghettiOs? There could be a chance. There's definitely an opportunity. I'm hoping that right next to Boog's Barbecue, not Boog Shambi, but Boog Powell, I'm hoping that right next door is just a trough of SpaghettiOs. I mean, if they're a sponsor, it's got to be free. So it's like a water fountain. So you just go and you get a little cup or something like that. Maybe buy a mug and you use it all season and you just scoop through the trough of SpaghettiOs. I mean, you can bring food into Camden Yards. This is this is another great idea.
Not in this post-pandemic world are we having a trough where people scoop out SpaghettiOs, but I would love that.
Most of the products that come in a can like that from Campbell's, they are already, I forgot the word I was going to use. You can't get any germs from them. you don't have to worry about that. They're okay. Sanitized. That's the word I'm looking for. They are already pre-sanitized.
There you go. Okay, so no, SpaghettiOs will not be taking over the naming rights of Camden Yards, but a couple did get a lot of attention last week when they brought in bags of SpaghettiOs to an Orioles game to eat while they watched some baseball.
Right. I did that once.
What foods have you brought to a ballpark?
Well, when I went to Camden Yards, I don't know if we bought sandwiches out. I don't think we bought outside the stadium. I think we packed it. It might've just been like a peanut butter and jelly type situation in aluminum foil, but it did feel scandalous of like looking around like, oh my God, are we really going to get away doing this? Are we really going to get away with not spending $30 on food that costs $3? Yeah. So we just had PBJ. It was back when Sammy Sosa played right field for the Baltimore Orioles. That was the pull. I was like, babe, we got to go to see the Orioles. Sammy's playing. She's like, oh, I've heard of him. And I'm like, here we go. 3-hour drive one way, 3-hour drive back. So that's how you got to sell it. That's sometimes how you got to sell a game.
That is amazing. Yeah. The couple that brought the spaghetti in, though, had no issues. They had them in the clear bag. So as long as it's in a clear bag, you are good. But one of them happens to be a Baltimore Sun reporter. So, I mean, listen, we know that newspaper reporters do not get the pay they deserve. And in this economy, I support them saving money on their ballpark food.
You know, not to get down in a rabbit hole, but if this is the gossip and we're trying to separate, you know, the rumors from the truth, I feel like I need more details. Did they come in with a can opener or opened?
I don't think they were actually spaghetti O's. I think it was just pasta that they made and put into plastic bags.
Because it would almost be low-key genius if you just sat the can out there in the sun. It would heat up on its own.
You can't bring cans into major league ballparks, though.
That is so obvious. How did that get past me? How did that one get past me?
You just can't.
Even if it's opened, you can't.
No cans at ballparks. No, they made pasta. They put it in bags. They were vibing. People started taking pictures of them.
In plastic bags?
Plastic bags. Ooh. Like Ziploc bags.
Yeah.
Not like trash bags.
Ziploc bags. Again, go over to ziplocbags.com. Use code DNVR for 25% off on that. But
yeah, it is kind of crazy that the Orioles have never... The O's have never partnered or done anything with SpaghettiOs.
Oh, the O's. Yes. There you go. I mean, if
so natural.
The Washington Nationals are going to go and steal the Walgreens logo. The O's might as well partner up with that. James, great point. Look, it's just some soup for your family. At least that's better. That's more nutritionally sound than the guy who was just eating mayonnaise a few years ago. Do you remember that guy?
Please stop talking.
Do you remember?
About it.
Do you remember the guy who was just eating mayonnaise?
No. I do not remember this. No.
It was a prank, but the dude looked like a guy who ate mayonnaise at a baseball game. Mayonnaise is good, though, low-key. Like,
No, I like, but mayonnaise is a condiment, not a food on its own.
I think when I was like 6, I would go like maybe like back-to-back on spoonfuls. You know what I mean?
No, Patrick. No? That's so gross.
Just me? But that was when I was 6.
Yeah, that's still gross.
It was 10 years ago.
I had a much better taste when I was 6. Thank you.
No, I ate sugar and just also by the spoonfuls there.
That's normal.
A little bit, yeah.
That's normal for a six-year-old to do. Mayonnaise, Patrick. Six-year-old Patrick does not have my blessing.
A lot of protein in those eggs, though. A lot of protein in those eggs. At six, I was. Yeah, I was.
You watched too much wrestling at 6 years old.
You brought it up, not me. Keeping the streak going every week. We got to have at least one reference. Susie, appreciate that. We'll see what we can squeeze in on the next show. Again, we'll be back Wednesday and Thursday on the post game on the DNVR Rockies podcast. If you want to see the graphics, it's worth the graphics alone. It's worth the price of admission. Head on to the YouTube channel on the DNVR sports channel, I should say, where we're at. Follow us on Twitter at DNVR_Rockies. And I'm Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter as well, I should mention.
And I am at the Susie Hunter on all platforms.
Look, Rockies don't have any momentum. I don't think we are. I think I'm trying to remember what I have to say because I'm doing a couple other things behind the scenes. But nevertheless, you know what they say about momentum. It's only as good as your next show. So we'll see you then.